I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
Hi, I love that we talk about your daring new life. And today's show is going to be really just about that, a whole new way that you can step into a daring new life and actually invite others to create a difference. And when you create a difference for others, it will create a difference for you. I know because I got to experience this firsthand. So a little bit later, today's show features Lynn McTaggart, who's the world's number one authority on intention, spirituality, and the new science, and also the recent author of The Power of Eight. Lynn McTaggart will be on a little later on Dare to Dream. And I want to wish you a great day. And the thought for today that I offer you is, I cherish our time together. I cherish our time together. You know, we spend precious hours fearing the inevitable. And it would be wise to use that time adoring our families, cherishing our needs, and living our lives. That's a quote from Maya Angelou. So the idea today is my time, your time, and our time, of course, which we know is an illusion. But let's talk a little bit about that. We all live our lives according to our own unique tempo, rhythm, and flow of time. Our bodies and minds thrive when we align with the daily rhythms of sleep and activity that work best for us. So difficulties arise when we try to impose our style of personal time on others or vice versa. So I suggest that instead of imposing, we can rather practice listening and tuning in to our own unique approach to personal time, following and trusting what works for us, teaches us to respect everyone else's approach as well. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible." Perfect segue for our guest, because when we come back, Lynn McTaggart is here to talk about the power of eight. I'm Debbie Dashinger. This is Dare to Dream. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/debswinewonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/debswinewonders.
You've had enough of seeking for your purpose. You are ready to start living it. Right now, you only need one answer. What realizing your life's purpose will look like. How exactly will you do that? You don't want to make another mistake, change careers, only to feel trapped and bored again. You want to absolutely know what your special gift is and who you are meant to serve with your gift. Great business ideas are just that. They are aligned with your true essence and make a profound difference in somebody else's life. Get your free Activate Your Life's Purpose call with Lyra Kay, an international best-selling author, quantum success business, life coach, and your creative genius activator. Lyra Kay will help you take the next step today so you can make an impact and realize your potential now. Book your call at shesgotpassion.com.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream. I'm Debbie Dashinger. Lynn McTaggart is here. She's an international best-selling author and an inspirational speaker who is consistently voted one of the top world spiritual leaders. She's chiefly known for her in-depth research found in her books, The Field, The Intention Experiment, and The Bond, all international sensations and now in 30 languages. She's also the architect of The Intention Experiment, which is a global laboratory involving thousands of people around the world testing the power of group thoughts to heal the world, which Dan Brown featured by name in his blockbuster book, The Lost Symbol. Lynn speaks around the world and runs regular workshops and teleseminars. You can find out more about her and the great work she's up to at lynnmctaggart.com. Lynn, welcome to Dare to Dream. I am so happy to have you here.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, Debbie. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing more about your journey and the power of eight. So I want to start with, what do you mean when you use the word intention? What does intention mean to you?
Well, most people think of intention as a power thought. You know, we decide what we really want, and we send it out in our meditation in the morning, and that's the only thing the universe hears. But the science shows us that we're sending all the time. We're like a leaky bucket. Our brains and are essentially like receivers and transmitters. And we know thoughts are just one more energy and frequency that is going around our body and being sent out to the world. We also know from a lot of evidence that thoughts are things that affect other things. So we are transmitting 24/7, and that's the big problem. Most people don't monitor what they're sending, and all that negativity, all that judgmental stuff, all of the flotsam and jetsam that we're sending out all the time, that's an intention too, and that essentially becomes our life's intention.
Okay, great. I like that we're taking this idea of intention and thought to a new level. In your new book, The Power of Eight, you set out to test whether group intention works with major intention experiments, and then you discover the participants as well as the targets, the recipients of these intentions were having results. Talk about this discovery and how it may have surprised you.
Well, what happened was I was skeptical about the power of intention. When I first started hearing about it in the early part of the millennium, you know, we heard about the law of attraction, there were ideas that were being put forward in The Secret, and because I have a background as an investigative reporter, although I had done a lot of research on consciousness at that point and the power of consciousness through my book, The Field, there had been some evidence, some suggestion that thoughts are things that affect other things. Mm-hmm. And so the skeptical reporter in me basically said, well, how far can we take this? Are we talking about just shifting a quantum particle, a tiny, tiny fraction? Or are we talking about curing cancer here? And also, what happens when lots of people think the same thought at the same time? Does that magnify the effect? And that's when I really wanted to find out and test. So at that point, I knew lots of scientists around the world, And I also had lots of readers because the field by then was in 30 languages. So I thought, well, if I just put them together, I'll have the largest global laboratory in the world. And that's what I did in 2007. I started working with a bunch of scientists in places like the University of Arizona, University of California, Penn State University, and people who had been working in consciousness research. And they would set up very well-controlled experiments using, you know, seeds or leaves or water. And we sent intention to do something to them, whether it was to make the plants grow faster from seeds, make them sprout earlier, or purify water. And the scientists would carefully measure the results. And, you know, I was really far from convinced this was all going to work, Debbie. I had all kinds of qualifiers in my book, The Intention Experiment. You know, it's just important to ask the question. But it really worked. I mean, it really worked. I mean, of the 30 experiments we've run and tallied to date, 26 have shown measurable, positive, mostly significant effects. And just to give you some sort of point of comparison, there's no pharmaceutical drug out there that has that kind of track record. But as you say, that's not the good part of the story. The good part of the story is when I started surveying them, when I decided to do a big experiment to try to lower violence in 2008. I was a little tired of seeds and leaves and water by then. We had done loads and loads of experiments on all of that. So I convinced a scientific team I'd put together, let's do something huge. Let's try to lower violence in a war-torn area. So we did, and we chose Sri Lanka because a 25-year war was going on. Plus, they had done careful record keeping on injuries and casualties. And that's a hard thing to find in a war-torn area. Nobody likes to talk about the bodies. But they had been keeping careful record, and my scientific team wanted to look at least 2 years of data on injuries and deaths, and then project, you know, look at 3 years after our intention, or three months after our intention, so that they could see the long-term trend to see if we buck the trend. That always becomes much more compelling than just seeing, oh, violence went down a week afterward. There was some really compelling data that the week we sent intention seemed to be the important week of the entire 25-year war in turning around the course of the war. The government won a number of decisive battles. During that week, violence did go up, but then it plummeted, and the war changed. The government, which had been losing, nobody had been winning, was able to recapture the North from the battles they won during that intention week. And then a few months after that, that 25-year war was over. Now, fascinating, interesting, amazing. Did we do this? You know, hard to say because, you know, lots of variables can turn around the course of a war. But certainly it is compelling that our week was the most important week of 25 years worth of war. But what was even more interesting to me was what was happening to my participants. After I surveyed them, I had about 15,000 people on that intention experiment, and thousands of surveys came back with the same kinds of comments. I felt like I was part of a higher network. I was shivering uncontrollably and sobbing. You know, I felt like I was in the tractor beam of Star Trek. There was so much energy. You know, and on and on and on, thousands of these. These are people who are describing essentially a mystical experience. And here they were, individuals who were just looking at their computer screens alone, yet they were feeling somehow connected to everybody else on that intention. And also, they reported their lives had changed in drastic ways. They had become more peaceful. They were making up with estranged family members. They reported feeling more loving and comfortable with their coworkers and even their not-so-nice boss. They were falling in love with strangers. They were hugging strangers. It was like that. It was just shocking, absolutely shocking to me. I did not know what to make of it.
And it sounds to me like, as you describe this and the responses, both in the worldly fashion, what you're intending and focusing on, as well as the participants who are having these mystical experiences, that it starts to create proof when we say all is one, the one, we are all connected, everything is just energy. It starts to sound to me like there's proof of that, that when we do something like an intention experiment and hold for someone else in prayer or thought, that if we are all one, then everyone gives and everyone receives. How do you feel about that?
Well, that's what has been demonstrated over and over again, not only in my big intention experiments, where people were experiencing all kinds of healings too, but also in my small groups, which I started around 2008 because I thought, well, you know, I probably ought to start running some workshops to show the power of intention, because it was all working really amazingly well with these experiments. But I'm a journalist by background. I had never run workshops before. I wasn't really sure how to demonstrate the power of mind over a weekend workshop. So I'm kicking around the idea one day with my husband, and I just turned to him and said, well, I don't know, maybe I'll put people in groups of eight or so and have them send healing intention to some member of the group with a health challenge. You know, and my husband, being a really great headline writer, he's a journalist also, said, great, I love it, the power of eight. And that's really how it started. We just put people into groups of eight. I knew a lot about what works with intention after studying a lot of intention masters and distilling their commonalities into a simple program that I call Powering Up. I also looked at what works with intention in the laboratory, and so that was part of my program too. So I knew that, but what I didn't know about was, well, what works or amplifies the group effect? So, as I say, I put them in these groups of eight. I told them all to hold hands in a circle, all carry the same intention statement at the exact same time. You know, I'm totally making it up as I go along. I have no idea how whether any of this is going to work. And I assumed it was going to be a little bit like a facial, you know, just a feel-good exercise, but not necessarily anything more than just relaxing. So we had the people come back the next day and report on how they were. And they lined up, took the mic in turn, and said things like this. You know, I have terrible arthritis, and I have no pain today. I have migraines every day of my life, and my head is clear today for the first time in I don't know how long. I have terrible IBS, and my stomach feels normal. And, you know, and on and on and on it went for about an hour. And my husband and I were just dumbfounded. We just didn't know what to make of it. But what I did was I dismissed it. I said, this is a placebo effect. You know, this is why this is happening. And yet I was curious enough to keep looking at it and trying it out in workshops. And in every workshop I have run since that first one 10 years ago, every single one, we've had these amazing healings. We've had people who, I had a woman who had cataracts and said in one eye, and she said it was 80% better. I had a woman who was a stroke victim who couldn't focus her eyes, and she was able to focus them normally after this, after 10 minutes of group intention. I had a woman with MS show up one day without her crutches. We had, you know, loads and loads of people with arthritis say that they have no pain and they're walking normally. And, you know, on and on and on and on it went. And then I noticed that the senders were getting better too. A lot of them were reporting healing effects, which kind of threw the whole placebo effect into a hat. But even then, I had a real hard time with this because I couldn't understand why this was happening. I was distrustful of it. And like any reporter can tell you, I buried the lead of the story. I didn't really talk about it much and it's taken me a good 10 years to finally agree to write about it because I needed to understand a lot more about it. I needed more evidence myself. I was the ultimate doubting Thomas. And I needed to realize, you know, in a way, what was going on and finally accept it.
Wow. You know, I saw you and met you finally in person at the Los Angeles Conscious Life Expo. And I mentioned to you that I had been in your workshop there. And it was a stellar mm-hmm. presentation. I really enjoyed it. And you asked Thank me you. To remind you during the show that I had been the recipient of the prayer and intention when we split off into the groups of eight.
Yes.
So I am reminding you. And what I really appreciate is that I am a skeptic. So I'm very spiritual. I'm very open-minded, but I'm also really skeptical, and I'm a big researcher myself. So I go into yes. most things kind of with a weary eye of how it's really going to turn out. And those times when it works out, I'm always very pleasantly surprised. And I just want to share that I did as well for this. I felt very grateful to be the recipient. And I think the results were ridiculous. I think it was so, I can't even use enough words that I don't understand fully what happened. But when I say ridiculous, I mean amazing, ridiculous, off the chart, couldn't have predicted. I feel like miracles started rolling in almost immediately. And it's still going on. That's
wow.
what's incredible.
Wow. Do you want to share, Debbie, what you were intending?
What I shared with my group was that I had a broken heart. I had a devastating ending of a long relationship. And in the midst of that, a lot of other things had impact, like finances. And so I'm, you know, just getting on my feet, but with this broken heart and the financial, it was quite a bit and a move and so forth. So they held a very strong intention for me, for my heart to be healed and for the money and sustainability to flow in. So I had a lot of ease at this time. My experience while it was happening was I had a heightened awareness of my group. I had a huge mm-hmm. awareness of the entire room. Praying, even though for separate people, but doing the same thing at the same time. I had to remind my monkey mind to stop and to receive and just allow the healing. And I had a great peace. And when I received this healing, when your workshop was done, there's a healer who was present at the Conscious Life Expo. He has a name out in the world. And he did a healing on me. And this is nothing I asked for, by the way. This just came to me. A very gifted channeler I did an interview with, and then they suddenly started doing a session, and they saw everything that I had just been prayed over. And they specifically gave me information on what was going on, which was very kind and created ease. There was also somebody else very gifted there who hired me on a monthly basis for my visibility package to help them. This one was crazy. I received a call from my insurance. Now I'm saying medical, Western Medical Insurance Company, which I'm not a big fan of, called me out of the blue and said, "We're offering free therapy for 8 weeks to certain people who may qualify. And you'll do cognitive therapy and online therapy, call therapy with therapists just for twice a week for 8 weeks. And I qualified. I mean, what? I never even heard of that. I went, all right, this is really manifesting. Someone else reached out and said, "I have a friend who is getting a high degree in quantum healing hypnotherapy. She needs someone who will accept a 6-hour quantum healing session." I said, hell yeah. So this is just some of what's happened. And there's even more. I really, this is weird to me. This is uncommon to me. This is magical to me. And I think it's profound.
And, you know, and it's not unusual. That's the other thing to say, Debbie. I mean, I was shocked by this because this is what happens over and over and over again. And, you know, I continued to not believe this. So I finally had to create my own Petri dish. I put together a master class and invited people to be part of a whole year-long event where I would actually study what was going on with them. And we had about 250 people. And I would monitor them. You know, I taught them for 6 weeks over teleseminar, as I usually do, and then I put them into groups. And ask them to meet every week together, intend together for each other, et cetera. And we did over an entire year, and they were to report back every month what their intentions were, how they were with their relationships, their career, their health, their life's purpose, their finances. So they did month after month after month, and I have to say, of the people who continue to meet week on week on week, virtually, I think that was about 150 of that original 250. Virtually everyone, 100%, had major transformational life changes. They had amazing financial windfalls. There were some incredible healings. We had a guy with lifelong depression who discovered the cause of it and had been looking for an entire year. As a clinical psychologist with an integrative practice, he'd been trying everything. He finally found the solution once his group started intending for him, as did a woman who had chronic fatigue. We had people with, you know, I had a woman with vitiligo whose skin started repigmenting. We had a woman who regained most of her hearing. We had people have startups that were, you know, they were hoping that they would get off the ground, and they flourished. We had people who were down to the last $200 get a financial windfall, a big financial windfall, and on and on and on it went. And it miracles, you know, as you say, miracles, 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 synergy, amazing, out of nowhere, just when they needed it. All of those kinds of things were just part of it. And it was, and continues to be astonishing for me.
Oh, well, we're going to talk about more when we come back about harnessing energies and some statistics about living a life of service. You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
You've had enough of seeking for your purpose. You are ready to start living it. Right now, you only need one answer. What realizing your life's purpose will look like. How exactly will you do that? You don't want to make another mistake, change careers, only to feel trapped and bored again. You want to absolutely know what your special gift is and who you are meant to serve with your gift. Great business ideas are just that. They are aligned with your true essence and make a profound difference in somebody else's life. Get your free Activate Your Life's Purpose call with Lyra Kay, an international best-selling author, quantum success business, life coach, and your creative genius activator. Lyra Kay will help you take the next step today so you can make an impact and realize your potential now. Book your call at shesgotpassion.com.
Wine lovers, how would you like to be part of the best wine club in the world? You can have your own business in wine, and we take all the guesswork out of it. To learn more, go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. Is one of the most inexpensive ways to create an explosive business of your very own. We take out the guesswork and all of the headaches of building, starting, and implementing a new business. It's all done for you. You'll have your own back office, marketing materials, videos, and everything you need in order to share and build your own business. It's so easy. You can even sit back and enjoy our wines because your wines will come to you free. We have invested so much time and 20 years of experts in selecting the most incredible, exquisite wines from all over the world that everyone enjoys, and they're at below retail prices. They'll also receive tasting notes in the magical box of wines. It'll have details of the regions, the history where the wine came, and even food and wine pairing recommendations. So entrust us with picking and choosing the most amazing wines. Deliver them to your customers' homes or business. Remember, there's nothing you need to do but just sign up and start your business right away. Go to directsellers.com/DebsWineWonders. directcellars.com/DebsWineWonders and start your wine business today.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm interviewing Lynn McTaggart. You can find her at LynnMcTaggart.com. Lynn, when and I guess what did you discover about harnessing energies? What about harnessing energies and also the rebound power of group intention to heal our own life?
Well, what I found was I wanted to try to dissect it, Debbie. You know, why is this working? As you said, and I looked at everything. I looked at group effects, and I mean, there are undoubted amazing group effects that happen where there's kind of what Emile Durkheim, one of the original social psychologists, called a collective effervescence. You know, we get into this kind of hive effect with a group. That's part of it. But another big, big part of it was altruism, because what I found was, you know, not everyone immediately started healing their own lives when they were sent intention. A few people didn't. We had a woman in our group called Lori, called Andy in our original group of 250, and nothing she could do could manifest, help her manifest a new job. She was going through a divorce, and she had sold her gift store business, and she needed a new source of income, and nothing was coming through. And her group was trying and trying for her, and we were trying some specific intentions and even some exercises and trying to get over a scarcity mindset and anything else we thought might work, and it still wasn't. So I finally just said, Andy, just get off yourself. And I had put forward to the group a young boy called Luke, whose stepfather had written to me about him. He had broken up with his first serious girlfriend, and in a fit of adolescent angst, he had thrown himself off a 40-foot structure onto hard ground. So Luke had broken everything. He had brain damage. He had nerve damage. They weren't even sure he was going to live. And so we started a healing intention visual for him while his stepfather gave us a running commentary on how Luke was compared to the times we sent intentions, so we could really see if we'd had any kind of effect. And there were some amazing correlations. And Luke got out of the hospital in record time. He did heal. Maybe it was good doctoring. Maybe it was us. But the really fascinating thing is what happened to Andy. As soon as she started focusing on someone else, she got a job out of the blue. And it came in, and her dream job. And that happened over and over and over again, Debbie, to the point where I realized that there is something in the altruism aspect of it. And the science really supports that, too. When we do anything for someone else, it fires up the vagus nerve, which is the longest nerve in the body, and that winds through all the major organs. It turns on a lot of the parts of our system that are involved with compassion, like and love, like the release of oxytocin, that what's been called the love hormone, that gets released when we feel for our children, or you know, care for our children, or a mate, or whatever, and that has an enormous positive effect on the immune system. So it's like a virtuous circle. But it also has an amazing effect on making us much more tolerant of the other. So, you know, this is a really important piece here with our very polarized America. You know, people just coming together and doing this essentially prayer together, as I've seen with many disparate groups. Groups like, I did an intention experiment in November, inviting Arabs from 8 countries to take part in an intention experiment that also involved Jews from Israel. And we were sending intention to lower violence in Jerusalem, which is, you know, I chose it as a symbolic place because it belongs to the Arabs and the Jews and the Catholics, too. It's, you know, it's the seat of all major religions. So we did, but here's the interesting thing. I was in a studio with the ability to have cameras in 9 locations, which we did, 8 Muslim countries and one and the other one with Jews in Jerusalem, and they were able to speak back to me but also speak to each other, and they started sending each other love, they started sending each other, you know, forgiveness. They said things like, your God is my God, it's time we all got together, and you know, extraordinary things were happening there, and it was all part of that whole, I believe, part of that whole thing of the firing of the vagus nerve makes us full and be caring about people who are not like us.
So powerful, and I'm so grateful you're doing this. I know you've done it in the U.S. for crime and seen a reduction in areas for their crime rate, and as well for these places in the world that really could use some help and peace. So for those who are really intrigued by what you're talking about, what are the most vital intention techniques? What can you tell us so we understand how to do this and what you're doing with the groups?
Yeah, I mean, there are, I enumerate this in great detail in my book, The Power of Eight, about powering up and all of the techniques. But here's a few things that I could suggest. One is, it's a very heightened, focused mental state. Instead of just getting into a gentle meditative state, I teach people to be very focused and use the power of great focus and learn the power of great focus, because when intention masters have been studied, their brains aren't relaxed as is the case in meditation. They're speeding up. They're working harder and faster than ordinary waking consciousness. But probably, so it's important to be very focused, to hold a very collective intention statement, our intention is, but also, and here's the most important thing of all, being very specific. Now, other people oftentimes say, make it general and let the universe decide, you know, but that's to me a little bit more like prayer. That's like saying to God, thy will be done. You decide, I'll be happy with whatever you come up with. This is a very specific request to the universe. So it's really important to tell the universe what you want. And people don't. What's really important is to be really specific. A lot of people aren't very specific when they ask for things. They ask for very general stuff or really impossible stuff. For instance, there was a woman who was part of a masterclass of mine, whose group decided to ask to win the lottery. And when I started to ask a little bit more about it, I found that the group really was asking for this because individuals needed some money. So Jane needed some money to look after her daughter to make sure that her income was steady. And Paul needed money for a new car. And so it went. So they just thought, well, we'll lump it all together and we'll try to win the lottery. And I said to them, well, you know, the universe seems to respond to need. Why don't you just ask for what you need? You know, have Jane ask for getting the money she needs to look after a child, and Paul ask for the money you need for a new car, specifically, how much? And the same goes with, you know, people who usually say, I want to be rich. What I usually find is it's not necessarily that they want loads and loads of stuff. You know, what they want is actually a new job, or they want something for something specific, or they want to spend more time with their children or grandchildren, or on a new hobby. They don't necessarily want loads and loads of money. So make sure to ask for what exactly you need, and be very specific about what it is you want and need. And, you know, draw it, just, you know, be specific in every way. And that's probably the most important thing I can relay.
So you said the important techniques to be mindful of course, read your book so they can get the full outline of how to do this properly and what it is that you're doing with your groups. You said be very focused, have a collective intention purpose, and be very specific in your request to the universe, very specific about what you want and need.
Yes.
Powerful. So I'm curious, you now have been running experiments. You went from seeds to plants, went into the people, and you've been running this now for some time and in various ways. So after the experiments, after writing your book, The Power of Eight, Lynn, do you feel more hopeful about the future, about our future?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel really hopeful about our future because I've seen the power that little groups have to transform themselves and the world. I've seen the power of big groups to change things like political systems. I mean, when I see and lowering violence, I mean, watching what happened with the Israelis and the Arabs on our Middle Eastern peace intention experiment, or when we did the 10th anniversary of 9/11, we got thousands of Muslims and thousands of Americans and other Westerners to take part in lowering violence in an intention to lower violence in southern Afghanistan. And the most remarkable thing that happened was the Muslims from Arab countries and the Americans started forgiving each other for 9/11. And so that kind of thing, this the power of collective prayer to heal wounds was probably the biggest thing that I saw and have become very hopeful about. There is just an endless power in this idea of collectively, essentially praying together.
Speaking of healing, I was really surprised to learn that you're the co-founder and editor of the world's number one health magazine called What Doctors Don't Tell You, published in 14 countries worldwide. Fascinating.
Yes.
So what caused you, with all this amazing work you're doing and speaking around the world and writing these amazing books and doing these experiments, you also have this magazine, what caused you to choose to be a tireless campaigner for consumer rights and healthcare?
Well, that happened back in the 1980s. I got ill and no one could figure out what was wrong with me. I had what you would call a faulty microbiome in this modern day and age. But back at the time, no one could figure it out. And I went from conventional doctors to the very out of rim of alternatives, and no one was getting me better. So I finally figured I have to research what I think I have. And then I have to research the doctor I think who will heal me. And I found a very early integrative specialist in the UK, where I live, who was a, you know, nutritional pioneer. And together, we got me better. And I was so impressed by the way he worked in partnership with patients and the way he was taking a non-drug approach that I just thought, you know, I should tell people about this. And I probably got pretty boring on the subject. And so my husband then turned to me one day and said, don't tell me, tell the world. Mm. So we decided to set up What Doctors Don't Tell You as a little newsletter, which we did, in 1989, all those years ago. And it, you know, before we knew it, without really trying, it got its own audience and it really started taking off. So then in 2012, we decided to turn it into a magazine, and it's now a magazine in 17 countries. It's we ourselves publish the U.S. and the U.K.'s versions, but it's also licensed by 15 other countries. It's in Russian and Polish and Dutch and all kinds of languages around the world.
And people go online to find the magazine?
It's an actual physical magazine. You can get it. You can buy it in stores, like in the U.S. In Whole Foods, Barnes and Noble, supermarkets. You can have it delivered if you get a subscription delivered to your door. You can get it as an electronic version, or you know, you can also join our website and be able to have access to our 27-year-old database.
Mm. And, you know, I hear the lilt in your voice every so often. It's very clear you were born where I was born. I was also born in New York. You were born in New York. How did you start out in New York and end up in the UK?
When I was 30, I came over here to write a book about one of the Kennedys I was sent by my publisher on a journey and an adventure to come here and research Kathleen Kennedy, who was the sister of John Kennedy and the real rebel of the family, who had married a Protestant lord outside the church. And it had been a big scandal at the time. And she married somebody who would be considered right under, you know, the king and queen, essentially, in terms of aristocracy. And she married outside the church. And so that was, you know, that could have scuppered her brother's careers so in politics. So her story had always been covered up by the Kennedys. So I came over here because her father was ambassador to the court of St. James just before the Second World War. She had a coming out. You know, she was a debutante here at the time, an 18-year-old, had a coming out with all of the young girls of society who came out and met a whole layer of aristocracy. So I came over here to get the real story from them. And it was, I got off the plane and I just said, I don't think I'm leaving. I love this place. And I had been living in New York at the time, but I think I was ready for a move. And then before long, I fell in love too. I met my husband and we just stayed here. He's British and we've brought up two children who are Anglo-American and we've just stayed.
Amazing. And you've been together more than 25 years and you even work together. So it seems like a lot of
success.
Yeah,
we've actually been together 32 years now. Mm. And, you know, from the time we first met and we work side by side.
That's beautiful. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to find out what Lynn dares to dream and what daily ritual or practice does she engage in that keeps her heart centered and grounded. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Be laser focused on ideal clients. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. Great rates at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Create awareness of your valuable content. Sponsor the Dare to Dream radio show at ads@debbiedashinger.com. Advertising amplifies everything you're doing towards success. Increase your business. Write to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads at debbiedashinger.com.
What books are you reading? Are you ready for a must-read? Winner of the Inspirational Book of the Year Award and International Bestsellers, Dare to Dream, This Life Counts by Debbie Dashinger, as well as the acclaimed Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams. Buy the books from Amazon today. U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest said these are critics' picks. By Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream and Wisdom to Success contain gems to live your life by.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Dane here, and I would like to invite you to an adventure in being. I've just written and finished a new book known as Being You, Changing the World. Are you one of those dreamers? One of those people who's always known that other possibilities should be available but haven't yet been able to see them be created? Well, I wrote this book for you. In it, you'll find tools, processes, and unique perspectives to change the things you've always wanted to change but didn't know how. In it, you'll find an invitation to a different possibility for a way that we can be in this world that changes not only our lives, but by being us, allows us to contribute to changing everything planet-wide that doesn't work. Are you aware that truly great people, truly being them, is the only thing that has ever created a great change on this planet? Are you willing to step up? Are you willing to be one? Check out a copy of my new book, Being You, Changing the World. I invite you to go to beingyoubook.com for a free gift.
Welcome back. This is Debbie Dashinger. I'm speaking with Lynn McTaggart, who's a central authority on the new science and consciousness, an award-winning author of 7 books, the editorial director of What Doctors Don't Tell You, and the architect of the international global laboratory called the Intention Experiment. Learn more at lynnmctaggart.com. Lynn, what do you do on a daily basis? Is there a ritual, is there a practice that you engage in that keeps you heart-centered and grounded?
Well, first of all, my work keeps me heart-centered and grounded. I mean, we do things like intentions of the week for people who are ill. A lot of my work is, and we're writing for people who are ill in loads of different ways. So my work itself keeps me grounded. I also spend a little time every morning doing some very meditative exercise that gets me into a real meditative place and a centered place. And they're very gentle exercises, so you have to meditate with them. They're very, you know, very quiet, repetitive type things. So that works a lot for me. I'm still a mom. I've got a 21-year-old at university, and I think that's probably, being a mother is probably one of the biggest ways to stay spiritual, the daily kinds of, even when you have a child at college, the daily kind of information, help, guidance, and love that you send out has to be, is a big Zen moment all the time. So I think those things, and I think one of the great things about being here in the UK is, you know, I can just live my life quietly here and just stay with my purpose. And it's, you know, it's a really nice little place to be.
That's beautiful. You know, speaking of your purpose, what you do is basically groundbreaking. Every one of your books talks about something brand new. So you're always going into new territory. I'm so curious, what allowed you to move past anybody else's expectations and carve out a new path?
Accident. I think what was interesting was because I was researching medicine, back in the 90s, I kept coming across studies of things like spiritual healing and acupuncture. And I kept thinking to myself, wait a minute, if you can have a thought and send this to someone else and make them better, that in itself undermines everything we think about how the universe works. And how come it works to just stick needles in people in certain points and have it work along this flow of meridian systems? You know, again, that completely undermines how we feel the universe works. But these were very credible things that have a lot of supportive science demonstrating they work. So I kept thinking, well, maybe there's something like human energy fields. I'm going to speak to scientist authorities. I was really curious about this, and I figured they would tell me how it all works. So I did, and what I was shocked to find when I was researching the field is that they were all on the verge of new discoveries that completely rewrite our scientific story. But each of them stayed in their own little experimental patch, and also they're not very good at communicating this in plain English. So part of my challenge, I found, was to put this together and to try to decode what they were doing and also put it together as a new story. So I did, and I think that first book, The Field, in this area, really changed the messenger. And I've followed from enthusiasm and curiosity ever since. I mean, the intention experiment was to really look at the unfinished business that was left from The Field about, you know, this idea that thoughts are things that affect other things. And the bond was, how do you live this? And the Power of Eight, of course, is the story of what happened to the intention experiments and the small groups and what happened to me as a result. So I guess I've always looked at books as something following an enthusiasm or a line of inquiry. And, you know, I'm still a journalist and investigative reporter at heart. I want to figure out why things work.
That's incredible. That's such a good way to live life, following your enthusiasm and curiosity. And this is Dare to Dream. So, Lynn McTaggart, what are you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
You know, so many dreams have come true over this past year. It's really been quite amazing. You know, I dared to dream just some simple things, that my kids would grow up and be really fabulous, and they have been. They're really such wonderful young women. I dream about writing more books in new areas. I love that idea. I dream about getting involved in evolution of consciousness. We need it, and I'm trying to put together some toolkits for that. I dream about the Power of Eight and the intention experiments, really trying to do something big to bring this country, the America, and other countries together. And sometimes I dream about relaxing a little bit more.
Hear, hear. I just want to end with this. When I was at your presentation recently, your slides had a quote which said, strident praying is good for you when it's not about you. And let's just end with that, your thought on strident praying is good for you when it's not about you.
Well, I think altruism has been demonstrated to be like a bulletproof vest. And what I've found from some of the studies is the people who live a life of service and who are praying for others, it's more powerful. They do better themselves than people who pray for themselves or people who get prayed for. And I think that's the extraordinary thing. We've been so focused on self-help, but really we need to be focused on other help, because sending healing heals the healer more than anything else. And I think that's what I'd really like to say as a message more than anything else is, the most powerful thing you can do for yourself is to do something for someone else. It's that simple.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for being with us on Dare to Dream.
Thank you. It's been my great pleasure.
And I end today's show with this quote from Lynn McTaggart. At our most elemental, we are not a chemical reaction, but an energetic charge. Human beings and all living things are a coalescence of energy in a field of energy connected to every other thing in the world. This pulsating energy field is the central engine of our being and our consciousness, the alpha and the omega of our existence. Next up on Dare to Dream Radio, I am featuring Dr. Bradley Nelson and Lori Spangler. You can subscribe to inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/Deb on the radio. And remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at DebbieDashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to DebbieDashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products, sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can. Easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible.